They exchange the truth of God for the lie. Well, what's the lie? That creatures ought to be worshipped because they're one with the universe. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God wouldn't even stop them. The greatest judgment God ever gives a man, woman, city, country, nation, or civilization is he turns his back on them, and the Spirit of God no longer strives with them to stop them. God turns his back, gives them up, and lets them do anything they want to do. You hear that? The greatest judgment God ever puts on anyone is to let them do anything they want to do without trying. And he makes no effort to stop them. The idea is, they said, God, go away and leave me alone. I want to worship my idol. He says, okay, I will leave you alone. And then the imaginations of man that is continually evil, wicked, begins to give itself full flower. Well, what do you do when it gives full flower? He tells us. He gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And, well, what do you mean? Well, he explains it. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, committing what is shameful or indecent, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their perversion, which was due. God says it's perversion. That homosexuality is perversion. And any time a civilization... Now listen, I'm showing you. This is what led up to the flood. Homosexuality was considered normal. Do you remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? The people of Sodom were so crazed, they didn't want Lot's daughters. They wanted the strangers who happened to be angels that they thought were men, were males. They were men, but they weren't males. There is a difference. A male, that has to do with how your plumbing is. Angels don't have plumbing. They all look like men. There's never been there's no baby angels, cherubs, or women angels in the Bible. They all look like men. They're the sons of God. It may hit you in a minute. They're the sons of God, but they aren't males. Male and female, that tells you which little room to go to. Okay, now listen. I'm amazed. People say all the time, the New Testament doesn't say anything about homosexuality. Oh. Revelation, which Jesus himself spoke to John, says in chapter 21 and 22, homosexuals, unless you repent, you will find your way to the lake of fire. And that's what the Scripture does teach. And if you get your feelings hurt about that, listen to me. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't warn you. See, I could just let you walk on out of here and not be warned. You'd think you were doing okay. But I want you to know that isn't true. And it doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. You say, I don't believe that I'm going to end up in the lake of fire. It won't matter when you end up there. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. Unless you repent. And I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of us in here had to repent from some things pretty wicked too. And we didn't like it any better than some of you are going to like having to do that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, we don't need God. Not the God of the Bible. We're gods. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not fitting. And being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. That's right, covet, covet, covet. It's part of the doctrine. You've got a bigger car. I hate you for it. I covet your car. I covet the praise people give you. Oh, Floyd, she's just the most wonderful thing. And I think, why don't they say that about me? Oh, shut up talking about how wonderful she is. Talk about how wonderful I am. I covet. I covet your money, so I'm going to gamble with you. Covetousness. Good doctrines of the cult. Preachers covet. They hate the other guy that got that bigger church. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Envy is the national sin of America. We're taught to be that way. It's the American way. Instead of being happy that you got a promotion and a raise and got to buy your wife a new house and a fine car, instead of rejoicing, praise God, everybody. He's been blessed by the Lord. Why him? Should have been me. Look at these blue eyes. Can you believe God turned these blue eyes down? I'm smarter than he is. work hard. Here, let me tell you. Would all of you, let's talk about it. I want to tell you how. Let me tell you why he got it. Let me tell you. He's been, you know, with the boss and everything, you know. Just, he's got, well, you know how it is. He's footsies with the boss every time. And besides, the boss hates my freckles. You know, rationalizing some reason that I didn't get it and he did, when the truth is, I hang around the water cooler all the time. Take 2-hour lunch breaks, and this guy is doing his work is unto the Lord. Murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. They just sit around and think up something wicked. Can I think up something that's never been done? Disobedient to parents. I'll never forget when God had me phone my mother and daddy 7 years ago and asked my daddy to forgive me for having been a disobedient son. I was already preaching, you understand, 3 years. Had to ask my daddy to forgive me. Sure, I'm glad I did. He died the next year. See, I had a choice. God convicted me. I could have fought it off and been prideful. Then daddy had been dead and I'd never told him. Hallelujah. Cliff, you might have to call home one of these days. Norman, you know, those things are good for you every now and then. Dad, I've been a bad son. I didn't obey you. Thought I was a better man than you and smarter. Can you forgive me, Dad? I've been a terrible sinner. My dad broke down and cried. So did I. Now these, have any of you noticed what, have any of y'all been paying attention to these words? This sounds like the Houston Daily News. This sounds like the 6 o'clock news every day. Moreover, if Jesus Christ does not return soon to punish the wicked, he's going to owe this bunch an apology. Amen. You hear it? But I'm telling you, he is coming soon because this is what it's like now. Amen. All right, look at the last of it. It says, verse 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. That means you got to, you hear that? How about that ex-husband of yours, that dirty rat that left you for another woman? Have you forgiven him? Well, let me make it easy for you. You know all the sins you've ever committed, all put together? God forgave you the whole batch, all of them. Now, this man, no matter how bad he treated you, didn't sin as bad against you as all your sins put together against God, and God's forgiven you. Don't you think maybe now you can begin to find it in your heart to forgive that rascal? That ex-wife? That father that mistreated you? Maybe even sexually abused you? Listen to me. He's going to answer to God. Go on and forgive him and get it over with and feel better about the whole thing. God will take care of him. Get the poison out of your system. It's killing you. It's fueling on you. It's burning in you. How about that school teacher that flunked you? Come on, tell the truth. You had it coming. He didn't flunk you. You flunked. Unforgiving. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the... It says they knew it. They knew the truth. But finally, their consciences got seared. They got so into the cult, finally... No conscience anymore. Remember in Timothy it says finally that their conscience has become seared. But it says that there was a time in their life they knew the righteous judgment of God. That those who practice such things are worthy of death. They deserve it. But they not only do the same, they approve of those who practice them. That's right. Listen, you fellows, listen to me. You get with a bunch of guys that aren't Christians. They approve of it when you finally break down.
Amen.
Come on, man. Get drunk with us one time. And you finally do. Now you're one of the boys and they're so proud of you. Come on, Floyd, all the rest of us. I mean, look, we're over in Bangkok. Surely I'll never know. These little Oriental girls there, they're fine. I mean, you know, let me tell you, in Bangkok, I went down to get a sauna. How much? Well, do you want the regular or the special? What's the difference in price? 80 cents. Well, I'll probably take the special. You know, I mean, Joe, if the special is 80, if the regular is a dollar, and for $1.80 you can get the special, I'll I'll take the special. Well, by the way, what's the difference? In the special, you get the girl. 80 cents American. And all the fellas, come on, Floyd, be one of the boys. Be one of the boys. They try to get you to do it so that they'll feel justified. Now, listen to me. Do you see what he said? Before the flood, they were practicing all those sins. That's what it was like. That's what it was like. Men of God came preaching repentance. But what was the response? Jesus told us the response. This is what their wickedness was. But you want to know even greater wickedness? To be living like he just told us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 31. Men of God come and tell you to repent. And what do you do? Marry. Eat. Drink. Give your children in marriage. Do you see it? Life as usual. No repentance. Because they don't believe God's going to punish them. They're so brainwashed that God is impersonal, and impersonal gods don't care. They're just an energy flow. Shortly after the creation, that men began to worship the creature, man, instead of the creator. Then he went down from that, lower into the creation of God, not lower into the animal kingdom. Man is not an animal. That's what that's what pagans teach at universities and high schools and junior highs. And unfortunately, Christians read books that pagans wrote and believe them. Now, I am not an animal. I am a man, totally different from animals. I am three in one in the image of God. You will never find anything in the universe higher than man, for man was created in the image of God. If we're created in the image of God, how then will you ever find anything superior and more advanced in the universe? You see, that's a fairy story. It's a myth. You say, well, maybe we'll find some men out there. No, Psalms 116 says that the earth was made for man. So all the men are going to be found on planet Earth, except those that get in little spaceships and go up to the moon, and they can't stay there very long. They soon come back. And long before any colony will be established there, Jesus will return. Okay? It's just that's the way it's going to be. For those of you in here that don't like that, it really won't matter whether you like it or not. It's going to happen that way. Okay? I'm just proclaiming. I didn't come to argue. I'm just letting you in on what's about to happen. And if you don't want to know what's about to happen, well, so be it. But if you do, Jesus is about to return. So we saw that they went down. And that's true. Once you reject God, and it said that was the problem. They had rejected. They didn't want to retain the true knowledge of God, which he had let them all know inherently. They knew it so that none of them had any excuse when they stand before God at judgment. They knew the truth. God had made it obvious in their hearts. He had placed it in the law of their conscience. He had created the universe so that anyone other than a fool can look at the universe and realize with all the orderly patterns in the universe that there is a creating personal God. Now you hear this. If you went out in the desert and you'd been walking for miles in the desert and suddenly you look down and there in the middle of the sand was a tic-tac-toe board drawn in the sand. Zeros and X's. Never in your wildest imagination would you reach the stupid conclusion that this had happened by random chance. The wind just happened to blow and behold, out came the Mona Lisa in the sand. Or a tic-tac-toe board in the sand. None of us are that stupid. Or that a lizard just by random chance happened to go across and somehow, I don't know how the part got erased, but it just left this perfect picture. No. You would be intelligent enough to understand that pattern, that perfect pattern had to be the result of something with understanding, with knowledge and wisdom. Something had come along that could think and had put the pattern in the sand. Now, God teaches that the whole universe is like that sand. That all the rhythm and pattern in the universe, you girls, every month it's a pattern. Every 29 and a half days, there's a new moon. That's a pattern. Every day the sun goes up, and every day the sun goes down. I'm not wondering and worrying, oh goodness, whatever will I do tomorrow if I get up and the sun isn't there? It's going to be there if there's any time at all. And there will be, because I've read the Bible and it isn't ready. We're not ready for time to run out. We haven't had the 7 years of tribulation. We haven't had the 1,000 year millennial reign on the earth. I know. No, I'm not even worried. Y'all, I go to sleep tonight and I know that sun's going to be there when I wake up. And I'll tell you something else. I don't worry about, oh my goodness, that sun, if it stays up there and it's getting so hot here down here in Texas, why, it's going to burn me up and it's going to blister me and it's going to burn up all my grass and we're just going to perish, because that sun, what if that rascal stays up there 8 months in a row? The thought never crosses my mind. I'm no fool. I have observed in my 46 years, and be 47 next month, that after looking at this over a period of time, I can count on that rascal. There's a regular rhythm. There's a pattern. I can look at leaves and I can tell you the name of the tree that leaf came off of just by looking at the pattern of the veins in that leaf. I have studied in science and I can identify trees by the pattern of those veins. Patterns don't happen by random chance. Fools think that. That's what the Bible says. You've got to be a fool to be that stupid. Now, I want you to know that there are people that stupid. They write textbooks for colleges and universities all over the world. God says, no one has an excuse. It's so obvious that there's an intelligent God with the power and the wisdom to put all those patterns there. And that when you see them, you ought to know, hey, somebody's around. You see that tic-tac-toe board in the desert, you're going to start looking around. Hey, somebody's been here. I wonder where they are. And you're going to start looking for intelligence. God says, when you see all my patterns in the universe, you ought to immediately look around and say, hey, somebody's around here that's pretty smart and pretty powerful. And so in Romans 1, God reveals that man from the beginning rejected the teachings of the creation, that there's a creator with power and intelligence. Began to worship and serve the creature. First man, and then once man, hear this, anytime man rejects the obvious, that there's a personal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, he first deteriorates into worshiping himself, men, the highest thing he can find on the planet. But it never stays there. In his stupidity for rejecting the simple truth of God, he invariably begins to deteriorate in his thinking and soon begins to leave worshiping man and begins to start worshiping animals. From there, it continues a downward plunge. They'll leave worshiping animals after given enough time, and they'll begin to worship things like trees, rocks. Orientals have rocks they talk to. They're their worry rocks, because in their pantheistic doctrines, they're one with the universe. The rock's God too. The trees are God. The grass is God. You know, if that was true, it'd be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? Shooting every one of you down with a machine gun right now would be no worse than me cutting the grass. You think about that. If that grass is really alive and its life is as vital as you, if it's as much God as you, then it would be no worse to cut a tree down than to cut you down with an axe. I told the last pantheist that was an Oriental that told me her doctrine, I told her, I said, in that case, I think I'll just shoot you. And she said, well, that's stupid, that's horrible, that's terrible. You're wild. I said, well, I cut my grass this morning. And so man continues, once he rejects the obvious from God, his thinking goes down, 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 down. Rather than eating the cattle in India, they worship them and starve to death. They won't kill the rats that are eating up their food. India grows and produces enough foodstuffs every year to feed all their people and export, but the rats eat it up. And they won't kill the rats because they believe in the doctrine of transmigration of souls. Those rats were people from other lives, ancestors. And so they let their own babies that they can see, and their mothers and their fathers and themselves, be destitute, be hungry, starve, bloated stomachs. And it has nothing to do with economics. It's their religious overview of life that has brought them that. Hear me. If you want to know what these Oriental religions, the TM, all Buddhism, Hinduism, if you want to know what those religions and those philosophies will bring you to, it's very simple. If you want to know what Hinduism will bring you to, and if that's really the answer, if you guys really need to sit in a lotus position and meditate, and that's going to really solve the problems of the world, explain to me the starving millions in India. You hear that? That is what their religious philosophy has brought them to. If you want to know what's going to happen to you when you worship animals and trees, go to Africa and look at the savages and see their little stomachs bloated, the little children bloated. It's horrible. It's what their religious belief has brought them to because they have rejected the truth of God, and in doing so they've said, God, leave us alone. God said, when they gave him up, he turned his back and gave them up. The worst judgment that God ever brings to a person, to a family, to a society, to a civilization, to a nation, to a world is he lets them do anything they want to do, and he no longer strives to stop them. His spirit ceases to strive with them over it. He quits dealing with their conscience and lets them do anything they want to because they have said, leave me alone. See, when you tell God to leave you alone, your protection has been removed. Some boy just comes back down, takes a look at you and says, you know what? I think I'll just grab her by the hair, drag her out in the woods and rape her. Oh God, where are you? Where are you? He's ripping my clothes off. You told me to leave you alone. So I did. God, I can handle all my own problems. 6 months go by. God, I lost my job. Yeah, I know. I always did know you were going to lose it. It's because I love you so much that I let that happen. Are you ready to call back on me yet? Because see, I'd rather let you get raped and or lose your job than go to hell forever. I'll turn the screws. I'll take my protection away, and I'll let anybody do anything to you they want to do until you finally come to your senses and start calling on me again. It takes a lot of love to do that. You love your kids enough to see someone about to belt them? Your kid's a smart jerk. He's a wise off, and you've never disciplined him. Should have, but you just never have. And you see them out there about to pick a fight with a kid twice their size, smarting off at them. Because see, they smart off at you and your husband, and you never have disciplined that little monster. You've rejected what God says in the Bible about discipline. And this kid, oh, listen. John McEnroe, let me tell y'all about John McEnroe. In my hometown, John McEnroe would have never lived to be an adult. Now, my hometown isn't very big. It's only about 5,000 people. But there was about 80 of us fellas, and we'd have whipped him so bad so many times, you'd see a perfect... Now, he may not be saved, but he'd be a gentleman. In my hometown, wise guys didn't make it. Because we had some tough boys in my hometown, and let me tell you what else. If you were tougher than any one of us, five or six of us would just grab you and beat you half to death. And we'd tell you if you tried to single any one of us out, we'd all come at you and get you again. In my hometown, you didn't grow up to be a wise guy. And so God removes his protection when people say, don't protect me. If you want to know what the result of worshiping God with a mixture of paganism with some Christianity, if you want to know what that'll bring you to, I want you to look at all the countries in the world that are controlled by Roman Catholicism. want you to look at the way people live in Spain and in Italy. Have you ever been there? I have. You're not safe anywhere in those places. You're sitting on the sidewalk trying to have a sidewalk meal, and 50 guys drive up in front of you with in a truck, jump out with submachine guns, run into a building right next to you, and just start shooting. I know, I was there. You're afraid to do anything. The mafia, the Cosa Nostra, is so incredibly strong. It's stronger than the government. I want you to look how Mexico lives. I want you to look how South America lives. You find me any country where Roman Catholicism is the principal religion, which is a mixture of paganism and Christianity. Therefore, it is not Christianity. Christianity isn't a mixture.
Amen.
And you'll see what the teachings of Catholicism will bring you to. Go all over the world and examine the religious beliefs of the countries. And you'll see that only the countries that have worshipped God, believe the Bible, have been blessed with continuing prosperity. And as soon as that country allows its scholars to begin to mock the Scriptures, begin to impregnate the seminaries with their doctrines that the Bible is full of mistakes, that Jesus is just one of the ways, not the way, you will begin to see deterioration within that country. England is a beautiful example, and America is fast on its heels. And beloveds, this is, in all the world, the last country that has accepted the teachings of the Bible and has not tacitly rejected it. Every country has heard the gospel many times. Every place in Africa has heard it. If you think not, you've been listening to too many Baptist preachers and you don't know anything about history. The gospel has been to India. The gospel went to India in the first century. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, went to India with the gospel. They rejected it and came up with their own foolish philosophies and are still worshiping cows. Listen, the Jews, they worshiped cows down in India. I mean, down in Egypt. The Egyptians worship cows. You want to see what? Hey, the Egyptians have heard the gospel so many times, coming in contact with the Jews throughout the years. Look at Egypt today. And the Bible said that they'd never be anything but a second-class, second-rate nation once God judged them for rejecting the simple gospel. You are now seeing the last country on the face of the earth that has professed to believe the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've seen, and let me tell you, our founding fathers, many of them were lost. Many of our first presidents were as cultic as they can be, and you think they were Christians because some book told you they were. Three of the first seven presidents were Unitarians. Unitarians are not Christians. They're part of the cult. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty come in the flesh and He died for the sins of man. They are humanist. Ralph Waldo Emerson was a Unitarian pantheist. Henry David Thoreau was a Unitarian pantheist. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Winston Churchill both dabbled in the occult. Abraham Lincoln conducted seances. He was part of the occult. These men that you think were, quote, great Americans, listen to me. Anyone in America that the world says was a great man, you can believe he was not saved. The world never venerates Billy Graham's. The presidents that we have said the most about are the ones that were lost. Don't know whether George Washington was saved or not, but he sure did belong to a cult. He could have been saved and in that cult, but he belonged to a cultic religious organization. It's called the Masons. Now, beloveds, America is rapidly rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear this. There is no other country there is not going to be another Christian country. Jesus will be here. He will be here. You are seeing the last of it. Rejoice.
Amen.
Cain was a member of the cult. He was the first member of the cult. Now, Adam sinned, but he left the cult almost as fast as he got in it. He repented right off. But Cain never did. The New Testament says that Cain was a sacrilegious man. You know all the stories you've heard about Atlantis? The missing city of Atlantis. Or the continent, whatever. Depends on how big the story's gotten. I want you to understand that all the stories of Atlantis, that's a cultic glyph. It's a disguise. It's a mystery. When they speak of it, all those stories, it's speaking of the world before the flood. Because you see, the idea is the cult guys believe in their doctrines that the cats before the flood knew more than they did. That's one reason why God brought such a severe judgment, you see. So they keep searching for the books. They want the black arts books and the astrology books that those guys use. And they're always talking about, in their writings, something, you'll always see something about Atlantis. And Atlantis, see, it's a cover-up so that when you and I hear it, we're not supposed to understand what's being talked about and what's going on. But they have venerated the peoples that God said were so wicked they had to perish in a flood. I want to tell you one good thing about the flood. A lot of people got saved in that flood. Only 8 were smart enough to get on the ark. See, if God just wanted to destroy the wicked, He would have just given them all heart attacks. Thrown lightning bolts down, turned them to artichokes, something. But you see, why would God let it rain 40 days and 40 nights? They had never seen rain. The scripture says it hadn't rained in those days. Hebrews 11 says that Noah was told to build an ark and prepare for something he had never seen. Genesis says in chapter 2, it did not rain in those days. A mist watered the ground. They had never seen rain. Therefore, when Noah preached repentance or rain, they rejected it. And there was only one language, so there was no language barrier. This is before the Tower of Babel. The oceans were not nearly as large. How do I know that? All that water had to go somewhere. God spread the ocean floor to accommodate it. You can geophysically see the spread of the ocean floor. However, in geophysics, we teach that it's taken place over billions of years, but the truth is it happened in less than a year. Now, I'm a geophysicist. I was one for 14 years. Know how to do radiometric dating, was geologist, paleontologist, so I know all about that stuff. Please don't bother to come correct me afterwards if you think you can. God's love is revealed through the flood. God did not just destroy the wicked. He let them see something they had never seen. Animals come into an ark all by themselves. Noah's kids didn't go out and get them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it's verse 20, they just came to the ark all on their own. You got to admit, if you was out there, let's go arking this weekend. What are we going to do this weekend? Let's go arking. Well, what do you mean arking? Let's go. There's a fool building an ark over here. Let's go over and let's take a picnic out and let the kids watch that fool and his family build that ark. I mean, it's sport. Let's laugh and make sport and have fun. It's better than a Sunday football game. Now, while you're out there picnicking and arcing and having a ball, you got to admit it kind of shake you up if all of a sudden you just saw animals beginning to come by pairs. And let me make sure you understand this. There was no problem with with what you call wild animals coming and tame ones, because the scriptures clearly teach in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 9 that the animals didn't eat each other. There was no competition. See, evolution, the struggle for survival, it didn't even exist till after the flood. The Bible says that all the animals and men ate nothing but grass and berries and herbs, straw and stuff like that before the flood. Tyrannosaurus Rex was never king of the dinosaurs. He never ate the others. You say he had big sharp teeth. I've got some pretty sharp teeth. I can eat meat, but I can get by without it too. Just because you got sharp teeth doesn't mean you have to eat meat. You got to make up your mind whether you believe the Bible or what your geology teacher told you. I already know who I believe. I rejected everything that my professors told me. I decided to believe God and the Bible. No, Tyrannosaurus Rex, he ate grass and berries and stuff with those big old sharp teeth. And the Bible tells you about dinosaurs several places, at least three different places. It just doesn't call them dinosaurs. Genesis chapter 1, it calls them tannins. You translate that, great monsters, whales, translated whales, because that's the biggest thing we could think of to put down there. In the book of Job, in chapter 41 and 40, in chapter 40 and 41, he calls them behemoths and leviathans. And Isaiah also calls them leviathans. Mentions fire-breathing ones flying through the air, pteranodons. Oh yeah, all that stuff's mentioned in the Bible. Problem is, no Christian will read it. Number two, if they read it, they won't believe it. I read it, and I believe it. Hallelujah. See, when you're real proud of your intellect and you're willing to give it to God, it'll make you look like a real fool to most folks. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm right. Not because I'm intellectual. I'm right because I believe what God said. God is right. So I came out seeming stupid to most people because I believe God. But while I appear stupid, I'm the only one with the right answer in the group that thinks I'm stupid. And the more I try and convince them, the more stupid it sounds to them. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. See, you guys aren't swine, you're sheep. Most of you have been born again, bunch of sheep. I'll cast my pearls before sheep. And since I'm surrounded by more sheep than lost folks, I figure I won't get crucified upside down when the meeting's over. Now hear me. No. The flood reveals the love of God. By letting the flood rise up, first of all, they had the miracle of seeing the animals come. Seven pair of every clean kind, one pair of every unclean kind. Then God told Noah to go in the ark, and they watched him go in while they were out there arking. And this big door shut all by itself. Now you got to admit, if you were watching, that would tend to catch your attention. This big door shuts all by itself. Now of course, most people read the story and they say, well, we don't believe that story. Listen to y'all, I don't care whether you believe it or not, I'm just telling you it's a true story. I'm proclaiming it. It really happened like that, not like my geology book said. Then it began to rain. They'd never seen rain. See, if it rained, how's a rainbow going to be a sign that God will never break a promise? That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? I'm going to give you a sign. That's just as dumb as some people, some of you with some of your Bibles that say in Isaiah 7:14, I'm going to give you a sign. A young woman is going to have a baby. A young woman's going to have a baby. That's going to be a sign. Look, I'm surrounded by an enemy army and they're threatening to kill me and all my family and all my friends and rape all the girls. And I'm calling out to God, oh God, help! Hezekiah goes over to the temple and lays this nasty letter that the Assyrians wrote him. Said, don't you trust in Jehovah. He can't save you. All the other gods of all the nations that we've come against, they called on them and we stomped them all. Sure, but they weren't the true God. And then he says, hey, you better not trust Hezekiah. Well, your God's mad at him anyway. He's the one that made you tear down all those temples and all those shrines up on the hills where you guys were busy worshiping. Yeah, now we know why God let the Assyrians surround them, don't we? Hezekiah was one of those godly men that was burning down all the heathen idols where they worshiped the sun and their idols. He said, no, God ain't going to help you guys. You've had it. In fact, your God's mad at you for wiping out all the nice places to worship. It's Hezekiah's fault. You know, you ought to throw him to the lions. That's the idea. Hezekiah went over to the temple and laid this letter out before the Lord. He assumed God could read. He didn't figure he had to read the letter to him. Now some of you, you laugh, but let me tell you, we do that. Some of you assume God doesn't know anything. You come up to me and say, Brother Floyd, I want you to pray for me. I've got this thing, and you start describing in great detail exactly where your ailment is, under the fourth rib, behind the colon, left of this, left. Look, all I got to do is pray. God knows where the thing is. You don't even have to tell me all that your doctor, everything your doctor said about it. He's probably half wrong most time anyway. You feeling bad? God knows where the problem is, see? I'm going to pray to God. I don't have to tell him where the problem is. I'm just calling on the great physician to get it done. I'm just telling you, Sal, well, see, we don't think God can read. We don't think he can find that spot. Now, Lord, let's see, it's right. No, see, he knows. Just call on him. And it began to rain, and they had never seen rain. Now, being human beings, at first they didn't know what to do. But as they saw that stuff beginning to rise up around their knees, they knew what water was. They had drinking water. And when it got up around their hips, most of them would probably do things like climb trees, climb hills, climb mountains. I mean, you know, people have a way of getting out of the way. And that water kept chasing them higher and higher. And as it did, they had a lot of time to think about things, didn't they? You see what I'm saying? A lot of time to think about it. You know, I have been living. Well, frankly, I've heard a lot of preaching. I sure haven't been living like those preachers said. I've been living like my denomination said, my religion, Mr. Babylon, the whore. But doggone, they never told us about rain over there. And that prophet Noah has been preaching rain. And it's raining. I can sure tell that. And when I read the scriptures clearly indicate in the New Testament, in the book of Peter, chapter 3, that many of them got saved at that time, spiritually, but they lost their lives. And I'm going to tell you, some of you, similar things have happened to some of you. You may not have lost your life and got saved, but some of you may have lost a leg and gotten saved. Or maybe you were afraid you were going to. And so God let it rain slow. Oh, it was coming down in torrents. But see, it's got to come down in torrents to get a world flooded. But the water rose slowly. But surely. But it's a funny thing that starts happening once you start getting everything saturated. What starts off rising slowly begins to rise fast. And you start thinking, dadgummit, if that rascal Noah was right about rain, maybe he's right about repentance and all this. See, I've been real active in homosexuality, and that rascal said it was sin. I've been pretty active in fornication lately. You know, I just can't believe anything that feels that good could be wrong. Now, Noah said it was wrong, and I said he was wrong. But I got to hand it to him. That rascal was right about rain. Maybe. Just maybe he's right about the other two. And you know, it's funny how fast you can think when you see your life falling away from you. Many people called out to God in repentance. Listen to me, beloved. If those people could have gotten saved easier, God would have made it easier. God knew it took that drastic a thing to happen in their life to get them saved. Moreover, do you understand that if he allowed them to continue on the path that they were on, all of them would have perished and gone to hell forever. He brought the flood, number one, to save Noah and his family from them. You understand, if you're the only Christian in town and you start preaching repentance, you and your family are not safe. Amen. Aside from the protection of God, you ain't got anything going for you. So he brought it to save them. And he brought it to save the others' souls, to give those that would one last shot. Yes, yes, it is better to enter heaven with only one eye than with two good ones to go straight to hell. Amen. And so all the stories of Atlantis, beloved, I told you all that for two things. To get you to quit reading the Bible and seeing God as the heavy, and to understand that he's the good guy in this book. That when he allows things to happen that look terrible, that look, quote, inhumane, his motives are the most humane. Eternal salvation of the lives that he's put on this planet. And all the stories of the flood,